5 weeks ago, I preached during the fourth week of Advent, and I talked about how faith and hope inform each other. And it came about because one of our, you know, seventh or eighth graders asked me very respectfully, "Father, you know, what good is faith for, like, in my life? Like, how does faith enliven my life?" I thought, what a great question. Well, after the homily, basically the bottom line is we say faith says that God exists. And as a result of this, we have hope, knowing that no matter what happens, good or bad, God can use or redeem for our salvation. If you missed it, it's on our website. It's a good one. Go listen to it. Just kidding. All right. So as I said earlier, when I read today's second reading, it's talking about love, 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 love. And I thought, well, that's interesting because the three theological virtues are faith, hope, and charity, also known as love. So I thought today I'd kind of build on that other homily and show how faith and hope allow us to love. So charity, love, is the theological virtue by which we love God above all things just because God is. And then the second part of charity is to love our neighbor as ourselves as we love God. So let's break those two apart. So why should we love God for his own sake? Well, the short answer is because God loved us first. If we look in the scriptures, 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. So the very nature of God is love. Building on this, John 3:16, right? Super Bowl today, someone have a big sign somewhere, John 3:16, right, holding it up. Did you ever look it up? God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, so that all who believe in him will be saved. So this is an expression of God's love is coming into the world. Then Jesus takes it one step further. In John 15, he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, God could have said, continue making sacrifices in the temple for the forgiveness of sin and ultimately your salvation. He could have given us another way for us to have our sins forgiven and to be with him forever. But instead, what did he do? In the fullness of time, he came into our world. He took our nature upon himself, and he said, I am willing to die on the cross as an expression of my love for you, so your sins can be forgiven, and you can have eternal life. And this eternal life is being fully united with God, who is love. So you can see where these different virtues start to kind of interact with one another. Now, one of the great pleasures I've had in my life is sometimes people come to me and they're kind of struggling in their faith life and they're struggling and they feel like they're unworthy of love. They think, or God doesn't love them, or they don't love themselves, or no one loves them. And I love being able to explain what I just explained to you to them. I say, wait a second, think about this. You know, God loved you so much that he was willing to lay down his life for you. God loved you so much that he was willing to come into the world to you. If God thinks so much of you, loves you so much that he was willing to die for you, then you must be very special. You must be very lovable. And if God loves you that much, you should love yourself, or you should understand that you are worthy of people's love. I love to see little smiles come up on their face when they realize that, yes, they are absolutely positively worthy of God's love and our love as well. So the God we believe in, faith, loves us, charity, infinitely. And as a result, we know that no matter what happens, good or bad, God will use that for our redemption. And that is hope. So again, the three theological virtues build upon each other and enliven one another. Now for the second part. And love our neighbor as ourselves for the love of God. I remember I was preparing a couple to get married, and we were talking about the importance of having God in their marriage and to love God with their heart, mind, and soul, you know, as Luke 10 tells us. And I came as a bride or groom said, but Father, if I love God with everything, my heart, mind, and soul, well, what's left over, you know, for my spouse? And I thought, you're thinking of love as a material object. So if there's one piece of pizza and I eat it, then you can't have a piece of pizza because there's only one piece of pizza, right? But love is not a material object, right? It's not. And if you think about it, the more we love, the more it increases. So if someone comes up to you, whether you're married or your kids or somebody in your life that comes up and says, you know, I really love you. It makes you feel kind of nice, right? You're like, oh, well, I love you too, right? And you can see where once we exercise love, once we offer love, once we receive love, it doesn't decrease in any way, shape, or form. It increases, right? So the God who we have, who we believe in, faith, is love, and this love allows us to love another, whether it's in good times or in bad, because of hope. Let's look at what happens to love when faith is not fully lived out or can be rejected altogether. We are hardwired to have faith and hope. If faith and hope is not in God, then we will put faith and hope in someone else. We are hardwired to be in loving relationships. If our primary love is not with God and enlightened by that divine love, then when we go to offer love to somebody else, it's a different type of love. It's not that divine, perfect love that God offers us. And what can happen is, like the song says, we can go looking for love in all the wrong places, right? And our relationships can be dysfunctional or even outright sinful if that true understanding of love is not the bedrock of that relationship. I see this in our society today. As faith in God is diminished or outright rejected, people start to put their faith in other things. They'll put their faith in human beings or causes or careers or money or political causes, whatever it is. Now, these things aren't intrinsically evil. Everything I just mentioned is good if understood properly. But if we make them an idol, that's when we can get into trouble. Because idols cannot love us. Idols cannot save us. And eventually, after trying and trying and trying, a person will realize, consciously or subconsciously, this understanding of betrayal. I put my faith in something where faith shouldn't be, and this thing has betrayed me. The immediate response is anger. Anger is an appropriate response to an injustice. It moves us to correct the injustice. But an idol is really not an injustice. An idol, by definition, is a betrayal because it takes away our relationship from God. Now, obviously, we want to say, okay, see the error of our ways, reject this idol and come back to God. But idolatry can become almost a sort of an addiction, and it can be very hard to break. If you've ever dealt with someone who's an active addict, you know that there's a thing called denial, right? Oh, everybody else is wrong. Not me. If you guys just got your act together, everything would be wonderful. Active addicts seem to think they know the answers to everything. If everybody just listened to me, the world would be such a greater place. Really? Your entire life is falling apart, right? But they can't see it. They can't see it. And I think the problem, the solution then, is really this understanding of love, which brings us back to the original question. What is faith good for? So faith in God allows us to know that we are infinitely and perfectly loved. This infinite and perfect love should enlighten every single aspect of our lives. If we allowed that reality to really penetrate the depths of our heart, imagine what our lives would look like. Then when we know we are loved, then we can offer that love to another. Even when they drive us crazy, right, we can have that divine love for them because we know that hope will allow this situation, no matter good or bad, to be used for our salvation. So 1 John 4:8 again states, God is love. 1 John 3:2 states, beloved, we are God's children now. We become God's children when we participate in that divine love that our Heavenly Father wants to give to us. This love allows us then to offer to others, because we are all children of God. We are all His sons and daughters. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's take some time to allow that love, to think about that, to really allow that love to come into our lives and transform us. Because when God's love transforms us, then we are able to love ourselves and offer that love to others.